out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 8th of May, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at Radio Arian. And of course, as it's Tuesday, I'm joined by Nat Danelaw. Nat, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It is a hot day here in Denmark. Summer has actually come now. It kind of goes and comes as it pleases, but at the moment it is 27 degrees Celsius. It's quite hot. As a Northman, I don't really deal very well with this type of heat, but needless to say, I'm tempted to say that I might have replenished my D vitamin supply for a whole year in these last couple of days, so I'm feeling kind of good, honestly. I'm feeling good.
It's nice to get a bit of sunshine. It's a beautiful day here as well. We've got a nice breeze out there. They said it was the hottest day that they've actually recorded it on a bank holiday yesterday, but they've only been actually recording it since the late 70s, so not that exciting. But yeah, absolutely, absolutely beautiful weather. And we're going to be talking today about somewhere that doesn't have such good weather, somewhere that we don't really hear that much about. And I was really quite shocked to hear some of the stories you were telling me about the place last week, Nat, and that is Greenland, which I'm sure most of our listeners don't know very much about. So why is Greenland an important subject, Nat? What is important about Greenland for Denmark?
Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, I was often told about how Denmark proudly is still one of the only colonial powers left in the world. I mean, I guess you could say the same about England. You have, you do still have Wales, and is Wales even independent?
No, not really. I guess we have England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. Yeah, the English are still colonial.
Okay, so you still have a prominent power, but we likewise have, but the only difference is that we rule over a couple of islands. We have the Faroe Islands with the Faroes, and then we have Greenland with the Eskimos. When I was 15, I went to Copenhagen with a friend, and I remember I walked through the streets of Copenhagen. It was at this time I made my first acquaintance with Greenlanders, the Eskimos, in their purest of, what can you call it, nature. So I walked next to a spring, like a water spring, a water fountain, giant one, beautiful. And there's a bench next to this. And there sits four Eskimos, one woman, and three men. They're probably engaged in deep philosophical thoughts, and they're, of course, enjoying a few brews. And by few brews, I mean that they have a whole shopping cart filled with like five crates of beer in it. So it's kind of stacked high. At some point, the man says something. I can't understand it. If I am to try and mimic Greenlandic, it would sound something like this. That's how it sounds like. So he said something to her. She got very upset. She gets up and she's very expressive and says, and this enrages the man to the point where he gets up. Well, not only that. Before that, she makes the ultimate point by pushing over the shopping cart with all of the beer in it, so that all the beers fucking explode all over the all over the street. And then the man gets up, smacks it right in the head. That's when I started to think a bit about Greenlanders and the way they are. Greenland is a Danish colony. Denmark rules over Greenland. There's approximately 60,000 people living in Greenland, but at this point, Greenland is so shitty that not even the Greenlanders want to live there. At this point, approximately 16,000 Greenlanders have decided to make Denmark their home. All the while they're doing this, they also claim that they want a right to vote in our country, while at the same time saying that Danes don't have a right to vote in their shitty country. Regardless of saying, Greenland is not a very fun place to be, and they like to blame the Danes a lot for their own misfortunes. But let's have a look about what the Greenlanders, what their capabilities actually are. In the 2000s, an IQ professor and some of his associates, Helmut Nybøl, wanted to go to Greenland and get some information, some data, on their IQ, measure their intelligence capabilities. However, this was rejected and denied by the Greenlandic government, claiming, and I quote, "Your data would ruin the image of Greenland and the population as the happy Eskimos, and you would replace it rather with the stereotype of the dumb Eskimo," implying that the Greenlanders know that they're fucked. They're dumb as bricks. There has been done some studies, and it showcases that the average IQ of the Eskimo, the Inuit, the Greenlander is 80 IQ points. That's 25 IQ points less than the average white. So
that's pretty close to Negro IQ, isn't it? I think the average Negro is 75 in Africa. Yep. The American Negro is 85. So that's lower than the American Negro.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about them, though, is that they're not as aggressive. Well, only when they drink. And let me tell you, they do seem to enjoy their booze quite a lot. But here's some interesting biological facts. Due to the fact that these people are Inuits, the Inuits have different blood cells compared to us, i.e. their blood veins expand more easily than ours due to the fact that, you know, they are Eskimos. They are adjusted to being nomadic and walking around in cold terrains. So evolutionarily, they have been developed in such a way that their veins expand more, i.e. alcohol has a way more powerful impact on them than normal people. They get way more easily addicted, and they get way more crazy when they drink. In 2005, I think it's 2014, it showcased that 21.5% of all Greenlandic families had alcohol issues. It is such a prominent problem that they only allow you to buy alcohol at certain hours of the day. In an average store in Greenland, if you want to buy alcohol, you can only buy it between the time period of 12 to 6 p.m. On Saturdays, you can only buy alcohol at 11 to 13. So what this means is that in Greenland, they have had a lot of problems trying to teach them about the virtues and the value of taking on the duty of a job and keeping to it and staying there. Because what the problem with Greenlanders has been that rather than dutifully show up for work every day, they work for a week or maybe 8 days and then they stop, because then they get paid. Because if they don't get paid quickly enough, they don't want to work. So after a week they get paid, and then they don't show up for work for like 2 weeks, and then they go to work again when they don't have more money. This has been a very constant problem. This is also why at this very moment the national budget in Greenland is 2.6 billion kroners. That's the national budget. Over half of that national budget to the government, to the welfare state, comes from Denmark.
So you have to pay the funds for all of this. But just let me wind back a bit there. Now, so they've been living in this cold, yet they've got a very low IQ. They don't have they don't have any motive to work, and they get flat out drunk all the time. But I thought living in the cold, according to evolutionary ideas, it was living in the cold that made us be innovative and have our high IQs and be able to build our civilizations. So these Eskimos actually disprove that idea that we just sprung out of the snow here thousands of years back. That can't be true, because the Eskimos have been living here all that time, and they haven't turned into white people, the same as white people in Africa haven't turned into Negroes. So it's obviously not the environment.
Well, actually, there's a factor here. Originally, the Eskimos came to Greenland from North America. There's a little debate about this, but it is estimated they came either 1,000 years or maybe 500 years ago to between 1,000 to 500 years ago they came to Greenland from North America. And they walked over the ice there. And so they're pretty recent there. I mean, they haven't been there for a very long time. Now, when that is being mentioned, I mean, they are related to the, if you have ever seen like the Canadian natives or the Eskimos they have there in Canada or near Alaska, wherever they are, that's actually their ancestors. And from what I've come to see, they're not very impressive either.
They look like dumpy chinks. They look like a dumpy version of a chink, basically a 4 or 5 foot high Chinaman, but really fat and ugly. To me,
they look like something that the Chinese regime would force abortions upon. Let's just put it that way. Not very impressive at all. So, but here let's dive in a bit, because the Greenlanders are, you know, kind of notorious here. They're known as drunkards, belligerent idiots, parasites. They can't really seem to keep their own country going, and whatever contributions they want to make here in our country is not really anything noteworthy. But let's have a look at the situation. So things in Canada, in Greenland are not good. They can't keep their economy going, can't make people work. They have problems with the families drinking, but that's actually not the most prominent problem they have there in Greenland. The most prominent problem they have is child molestation. And the audience now is probably scratching their heads thinking, child molestations? What are you talking about, Nat? Well, dear listener on RadioArian.com, what I'm talking about is that every third child in Greenland has been sexually abused by his parents or her parents. It's actually so bad that the UN is actually stating that something needs to be done about this, since every third child in Greenland is getting sexually abused. Now, when you're in such a situation where everything is bad, your people doesn't want to work, the economy is going down the drain, major politicians are deeply corrupt. I mean, there has been a few cases where major governmental leaders have been busted in, you know, just taking credit cards from the government, you know, directly linked to the government's bank, and there's spending. I think there was like a major politician not too long ago that spent like at least 100,000 kroner just casually. And, you know, normally when you're in such a situation where your country is corrupt and suicide rates are going up, people are miserable, you would think that would be motivation for wanting change. But rather than wanting change, they have projected their own insignificance and their own failures upon the Danes, because that's apparently the righteous thing to do. We are blamed for their own dysfunction, and as a result of that, they want to separate. As it is now, Greenland is an autonomous state. They had their own democracy, but they feel that Denmark is still interfering too much. So they wish to separate Denmark from Denmark. They want to make their own nation. Only problem with this is they still want us to pay. They want to separate, but they still want us to give them the money. Of course, it's ridiculous. The whole premise of Greenlandic separation is built around the notion that they have a blood right, a claim to Greenland, which they historically don't, since they were not the first people there. They came, you know, 500 to 1,000 years ago. The Danes were there in year 900 already, where we colonized it, where we lived for approximately 500 years. So we had been there long, long before they were.
Apparently.
So they don't have a blood right to it. But let's dive into this problem where they make this claim, you know, and, you know, they essentially, they don't, I kind of lost track of what I wanted to say there. I actually got angry.
Well, let me just say, apparently, I mean, one of the problems was, I mean, you colonized it. And then the Danes left the colonizers to their own business for a couple of hundred years. And they thought, well, we better go back and check on the Danish colonizers. And they went over there, but they didn't find any Danish colonizers. And they found all these Eskimos. And instead of just kicking them off the island or leaving, they baptized them all. They went over there because they thought the Danes might have fallen back into paganism, but the Danes had all actually died out, unfortunately. So they baptized all these bloody Eskimos. And that would seem to be the start of the problem, was baptizing Eskimos, from what I've read.
I mean, at this point, like, there's a statue of the bishop from the 17th century who went up to baptize them. There's a statue, and it's constantly vandalized by these Eskimos. They're very resentful about how we tried to enlighten them.
But that's the only reason why they've got a claim on the place, and why they've got a claim on Denmark providing all their welfare is because of this bishop that went and baptized them. It shows you their mentality, doesn't it? If they're then going to go and attack the people that are actually helping them. But again, it just shows you their mentality that they attack their own children. I mean, these people have to be taught not to abuse their own children. 30% of them are all sexually abused, and they're not, and the authorities aren't talking about stopping the abuse. They're talking about breaking the taboo on it so that it can be talked about, because it just apparently happens to pretty much all of them. And half the population is under 28. Now, how many of them are inbred, I wonder as well, with all this sexual
abuse.
That's
actually something I have heard, some very disturbing, statistics about. You know how in the West, The population groups that have the highest rate of infant deaths, you know, childbirth defects, etc., that leads to the infants dying, is Pakistanis and Afghanis, like Middle Eastern peoples who are notorious for inbreeding, right?
Yeah.
From what I've come to understand, the rates for stillborn deaths and infant deaths in Greenland is also considerably high, and this is even with the welfare boost of Denmark. Still, apparently, for some reason, their children just kind of cease to exist and stop breathing.
We used to have foundling centres. Yeah, we used to have a building that people that didn't want their children, their babies, they could put them in a little box at the foundling centre, and a nurse would take the box at the other side and find a family for the baby to go into, and that was with babies. But what they actually have in Greenland, they have a building which basically forms the same function for teenagers. So teenagers can just go there, not just spend the night, but they can stay there for 6 months while the people there try to find them another family, because the situation is so bad, because these teenagers are being raped and abused and not wanted by their families. You're not talking, you know, an unwanted baby that a mother can't afford to take care of. You're talking adults that cannot take care of their own children because they're drunk all the time, or they're trying to have sex with their own children. I mean, what sort of a creature is this? And how can it even come under the heading of human being?
At this point, they are beyond the point of having a stern talking to. At this point, they are a infantile, disgusting race of people who's trying to steal away perfectly good land that could easily be inhabited by Northmen. And at this point, they're trying to take away what you can only call the crown jewel of Denmark, our biggest island. They're trying to make a claim to this island without having a military to back up their own disgusting, drunken, child-fucking words. They have no means of actually making a claim to this island. They have no claim. And at this point, we shouldn't even be debating with them. And people are trying to include, they even have a position in our parliament. They have a cabinet of two people as representative of the kingdom's union. And when that is being said, they have absolutely no right. The only thing, the only sort of dictating or debate we should have with them is when we send over 250 riflemen to sort out the things there. And, you know, the only reason that they are in Greenland right now is out of the kindness and mercy of our hearts. We have tolerated their presence. That is all. They have no claim to it. And historically, it is Danish, 100% Danish.
Well, tell us about the original colony then to Denmark. I've heard a few bits and pieces about this, that it was there for, you know, it was there 1,000 years ago. You actually had a colony there, and there were remains of it that are still there. So what happened with the colonizing, the first colonizing attempt?
Well, in the late year of 900, Eric the Red decided to bail, essentially, over disputes. He wanted to create his own colony. So he went up to Greenland. And I'm sure that some of the commentators will say, well, actually, yeah, there's probably more details I could go into, but we only have half an hour. So Eric the Red went up and colonized. And they lived there for approximately, well, 400 to 500 years. They lived in two different colonies. There were approximately between 2,000 to 10,000 Northmen living in these colonies. And they traded internally. And, you know, they prospered for some time. However, climate change happened. It started to get colder. And from what I understood is that the waters froze over, so they couldn't really fish or hunt as frequently as they wished for. And I've also heard theories of disease breaking out there. I have not really looked into the details of that, but I have heard about, you know, studies of microorganisms in the ice around there, and it did indicate that a horrible disease did break out in the colony, and as a result, the Danes died out or wiped out by the harsh climate and probably also disease. So yeah, it was pretty rough up there. But
were they pagan or Christian when they moved there, when they first colonized there? Do you know?
I was pretty sure that they were pagan at the time. They were pagan when they moved up there.
That fits in with this bishop that wanted to go over there and baptize them then.
Yes, he wanted to check up on them. He wanted to check up on fellow Aryan brothers. And when he showed up there, all he got was a bunch of Chinese rejects. So, yeah, I mean, If the audience of RadioAryan.com ever come to Denmark, I recommend that you try and go for a walk. You know, don't go to the ghetto areas, but try and go for a walk in some of the parks on a warm summer day. Try and go for a walk there. And if you notice some people that look weird, right? They don't quite look Chinese, but they look weird, as in they look like weird bloated Indians. They look like bloated Indians. And not a lot of teeth to look very. If you go to a park, you will find benches there. And if they're sitting there drinking, you should just sit and observe them for a bit and actually take in what it is you're actually looking at. Because arguably, you're looking at one of the dumbest, most useless people this earth has ever seen. I mean, they're kind of like the Abos, but yeah, they're about as bad as the Abos, in my opinion. Just as bad.
Ice Abos. I know someone that did go to Denmark, and he did come across them, and he said they were absolutely crazy once they'd had a drink, like as if they were schizophrenic. You know, they were perfectly fine until they'd had a drink, and then they went absolutely mental. And that was what he told me about them. But I'm interested in this colony because it's so cold there. Was a lot of it preserved by the ice or anything like that? Is there any interesting relics, remains? Because you know, you're talking 1,000 years ago. What's the Danish stuff that's like there? Is there any remains of the settlements that they built or anything like that?
There is, assumably, there's still some remnants of the settlements there. And keep in mind, the Danes did come there. And when the Danes went to Greenland, I mean, all they really found was igloos. You know, those ice huts, that's pretty much all they found, in a few slaughter benches for cutting apart whales and, well, not whales, like sea lions. Isn't that what they eat? Sea lions?
I'm not sure. I'd be worried that they ate the Northmen when they arrived there, if they found them frozen bodies.
I mean, they might have. I mean, when I've been looking at them, they're very impulse driven. I mean, if the conditions are right, they fornicate with their own children. So it wouldn't surprise me if they had indeed engaged in cannibalism. It would not have surprised me at all. But keep in mind, when the Danes came there, they did start to like build up everything. We did build the huts. We introduced them to wood. We told them how to make cabins. We told them how to pretty much make everything in Greenland. And yeah, as a result, you know, all you see in Greenland now that looks like civilization is only there because Danes built it.
So they actually have cities there now. They're not just living in igloos still.
I mean, some of them might be still living in igloos. I mean, what is the capital of Greenland called? Nuuk? Nuuk? Let's have a look.
Yes, that sounds like it could be the capital of Greenland. I have no idea what the capital of Greenland is.
I mean, 60,000 people, that's all they have. And let's see.
I've got some statistics here. 57,000 inhabitants, 39% are under the age of 24, some 28% of girls and 9% of boys under the age of 14 have been victims of sexual abuse, according to a study conducted in 2004. And despite taboos, 775 police complaints regarding physical abuse were filed in 2005, or almost seven times the proportionate number in Copenhagen. For sexual abuse, the number of police complaints is between 14 and 18 times higher than in Copenhagen. And the woman that is conducting this campaign, she says, our goal is to eliminate the taboos, to help the victims of sexual violence as best we can, and to make adults understand that they have to take care of their children, the government said in its strategic plan. Yeah, like, that's their strategy.
Even the most simple animal out in nature understands the need and duty of preserving its own offspring. And here we have a people, a whole fucking people who are capable of throwing spears, who is incapable of understanding that they need to take care and not have sex with their children.
It's bizarre. I never would have thought there were people like this. I thought maybe in Africa, some of these Negro tribes are like this. In fact, I know some of these Negro tribes are like this. But to think that it's in Greenland, I mean, that's not that far away from the rest of us in Europe, is it, really?
No. I found out what it's called now. It's called, yeah, it is Nuuk, N-U-K. But in Danish, we call it Godhåb, which means good hope. Funny how it's quite a contradiction, honestly.
What a name for it. They got no hope. Can you send them back to Canada? Has that ever been put forward as an idea?
I mean, if we want to talk about a realistic outcome of Greenland, and if we were to finally shut the mouths of these ice muggies, it would entail that we kicked them out of the southern parts of we pretty much banished them from all of the cities and pushed them further north, where they could live in a small reservation up in the northern parts of Greenland, where they could, you know, rape each other and drink each other to death and hunt, you know, seals. At this point, the patience with these people is far gone. We don't owe them anything. They're only living on Greenland out of our kindness of our hearts. And, you know, we don't owe them anything. So they can go up north.
Is this the general feeling in Denmark? Do most Danes feel the same way? Or is there some liberal bleeding hearts types that want to civilize them, or have most people
there's a lot of Danes who feel that they are still salvageable, that there's like they can somehow save them, and there has been talks about colonial guilt and whatnot, but it all falls apart when you look into it, and most Danes realize this, and most Danes are not scared to call a spade for a spade and a tree for a tree. Most Danes do recognize the patterns of these people, and they don't really take them seriously. And honestly, a lot of Danes don't really want to pay for the perpetuation of their people's existence, and they would rather pay for our own people's furtherment and existence.
What about genetic modification? There hasn't been any miscegenation with them, has there? There aren't any Danes that have interbred with them or anything like that, is there?
I mean, in any people, the lowest common denominator in your people, the bottom of the barrel, are the ones who are the most prone towards this type of stuff. But honestly, you do not find a lot of Danes who want to interbreed with these people. It is very rare. And if you do see them, you just kind of shake your head. And it's kind of like seeing a white man with a tie. It's just kind of sad and pitiful. Yeah, it's pathetic. And it's not really that common to want to have anything to do with these people, honestly. They're a whole nother species.
Well, I was just wondering if maybe their representatives were half-breeds. I mean, we know with the Negroes, their representatives are half-breeds, aren't they? Because they're not capable of doing it themselves. So that was what I was wondering about. Whether the two that you've got in Parliament that are representing them, whether they are like half Eskimos. Or whether they are the same low IQ.
And that might be like rest. That might actually be very likely. I mean, I know a lot of the administrative roles in Greenland is filled up by ethnic Danes, as well as a lot of the teachers and policemen are ethnic Danes. They're taking care of things, but yeah.
So they're not capable of doing it themselves. Well, yeah, I've certainly learned something this episode, Nat, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. And I hope you finally find a solution to the Eskimo problem over there. Thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners. I'll be back tomorrow with Eddie Morrison from the National Front, the British National Party, and lots of other nationalist organisations over the last 40 years. So that should be good. As I say, thank you very much for listening. God bless and hail victory.